Well, somebody say amen. Oh, thank you. You're very kind. You didn't have to quit clapping so soon, though. Oh, it's an honor to be here. I love you, Pastor. And David, I need you for the sermon. So where'd you go? Come on down here, if you would. I need you for the sermon. Have a seat there. Sit down and behave yourself.
Am I going to keep all my teeth?
Shut up. You keep talking, you won't have any left. Brother Mr. Williams, it's good to see you. I guess it's been a long time, 20 years, 23 years. I was going to say, it's about the. Of course, I get a card from them every year, and I appreciate you folk. And God bless you, Pastor. Boy, first time I met you, I fell in love with a guy. He's just my kind of guy. And I love him. I hate this guy, but I love this guy over here. Man, I didn't know you could sing. It's amazing, isn't it? Man alive, I was shocked to look at you. You couldn't tell. Well, after hearing him sing, that was enough to make a holy roller dip snuff right there, man. I got to read this to you. I got to get this off my mind. I was shocked. My son Scott gave this to me. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, by the lights of or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood the kid from the seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Uncle Bill, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Please give me a clue. Hush, child, said he. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd ever see you. That's good, isn't it? That's good. I got this one Sunday morning. Someone gave this to me Sunday morning. I love it. This morning on the interstate, I looked over to my left, and there was a woman in a brand new Cadillac doing 75 miles an hour, with her face up next to the rearview mirror, putting her on her eyeliner. I looked away for a couple of seconds, and when I looked back, she was halfway over in my lane and still working on that makeup. As a man, I don't get scared easily, but she scared me so much, I dropped my electric shaver, which knocked the donut out of my other hand, and all the confusion of trying to straighten out the car using my knees against the steering wheel, it knocked my cell phone away from my ear, which fell into the coffee between my knees, which ruined the phone, soaked my trousers, and disconnected an important call. Stupid women drivers. I love that one. I love that one. I got a million. How you doing?
Great.
Good. Mark 16 and verse 15, if you'll turn there, please.
Now, which one of these do I use here?
Blue.
Is that blue?
As far as you know.
Okay. Is that on? Hello? What did I do? Oh, hey. All right. Help us now. Turn that baby down. There's blood coming out of their ears. Shut this thing off here. Hey, what's his name?
John Boy.
If you want to be a man, you'll help me. That's bad, isn't it? Mark 16 and verse 15. Let's stand and stretch just for a moment here. Now, I want you to hold your place there, and then I want you to go to John 15. But Mark 16 and verse 15. Now, be sure and give me treble now, John Boy. Okay, yeah, good. And turn that bass down, if you would. All the way down. Yeah, I went to Howes Anderson. Well, Howes never affected me.
Amen.
Just because they called me Bobby Boy, that doesn't. Mark 16, verse 15. Folks, I haven't got time to tell you when they're funny. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Keep that in mind. And then turn to John 15, if you would, and then hold your place there. I want to speak to you tonight for about 6 hours on. I did that in New Jersey, and a woman stood up and said, not tonight, and she walked out the back door. So I want to talk to you about this subject, and I want you to get your pen out, write some things down about the path to successful personal soul winning. You'll never really feel an accomplishment as a child of God until you reproduce yourself, until you see other people saved. You may enjoy the singing and you may enjoy the preaching, but after a while, it's going to get to you and it's going to irritate you if you don't get involved in this matter of getting the gospel out.
That's right.
So I want to help you tonight. I want to take the fear out of it, if you don't mind, because I know why some of you don't go, because you went one time and came back and people were sober at night and they said, hey, I had three saved. And somebody else said, well, I had two. And then they looked at you and said, well, how many did you have? And you didn't have anybody. You had a goose egg. So you said to yourself, well, they're not going to embarrass me like that again. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll just stay home. That's what I'll do. But you missed the whole point of getting the gospel
right.
out.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Jesus does the saving.
Yes.
We do the leading.
Yes.
Soul winning is the opposite of soul losing.
Right.
Soul winning doesn't save anybody. Soul winning leads them to the Savior who does the saving.
Right.
Now, whatever the sinner does, he may accept, he may reject, but I've done my job. And so I want to talk to you about this path to successful personal soul winning. I want you to get your pen out and write some things down out of John 15, and I think you'll find some things. I'm going to use an illustration here, and I think there'll be some things that maybe will help us tonight. Father, we need your help. Thank you for the Scripture. Thank you for the Bible. I'm so thrilled that we have a book that's alive, Acts 7:38,
yes.
Lively oracles,
yes.
Inspired, regardless of what some may say. This is the King James Bible. It's alive tonight.
Yes.
Talk to us through the Scripture, please.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Maybe seated. Now, it's important to understand that we all started out like this, okay? This is, I don't know when your soul winning is. When's your soul?
Saturday,
okay. So Saturday, the pastor. I know you go every day.
Saturday.
And you've got a great soul winning pastor here, by the way, too. And don't you ever take him for granted. I travel all over this country, and I can't get half the pastors to even go out, let alone. This guy's with it, and you ought to thank God for him. Somebody say amen now. Don't make me come back here and slap you now. In Jesus' name. So Saturday. So each church is different. Each pastor is to lead his church, organize his church so that we can win souls. So the pastor knows what's best for his church that God has given him to pastor. So the pastor says Saturday. So you have an opportunity to go or not to go. Now Mark 16:15 said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that what it said? He did not say to the sinners, y'all come. Because they're not beating the doors down to get in here. It's not that way. There wasn't a church building for the first 200 years of church history. So you have to understand, because we got four walls, a roof, and a floor, and a welcome mat out front, doesn't mean that people are going to beat the doors down to get in here. They're not going to do that. That's why we got every incident in the Bible, it talks about preaching. You go somewhere to preach. You go there to preach the gospel to them. You don't say, y'all come. You know, it's like the Price is Right. Come on down. I guess they're not as worldly as you are. But so it's Saturday. Now you have a choice of either, and I want you to write this down, obedience or disobedience. Because the pastor's leading us, isn't he? It's not just exhortation, it's example. He's leading us. This man of God wins souls every day, and that's admirable. So he is leading us. So now he's leading you, and you're either going to live in obedience or disobedience. Now, obedience is the vehicle that will carry you to this matter of successful personal soul. Do we have I probably ought to use you on the other day. Do we have another pastor here from on your staff, or somebody called here that's on staff? Okay, Mark, where's Mark? Okay, could you come up here, Mark, if you don't mind, please, if you don't mind me using you. And you stand right here, okay? Now, thank God for the end result of this matter of soul winning. Thank God for every preacher. Thank God for every evangelist, every missionary. Thank God for that. Because the end result of this is that we're hoping that we'll have John 15:16, fruit that remains, or fruit that's service for God. Thank God for the person that led you to Christ. Thank God for Pastor Marvin Owen that had a part in my getting saved. Thank God for that. But it all starts
starts over here. If we want to get to here, there's a path that has to be followed in order to be able to get there. And all of us want that. Dr. Howe's had 1,000 preacher boys. I happen to be one of them that around the world preaching the gospel, persecuting the saints. I mean helping the saints. And thank God for that. We have 400 from our college after 26 years, and thank God for that, and we're very proud of them. But that's what we want. This path is a path that goes from here to here. It starts out with disobedience. Okay, it's Saturday morning, and David here is sitting home. Now let me ask a question: is he obedient or disobedient? Now you'll have to talk to me now if you're going to pass this course. Okay, is he obedient or disobedient? Disobedient. All right. Now, I want you to write next down to disobedience. I want you to write failure. In this area of his life. Now, there are a lot of areas in your life. If you're married, you're supposed to be a good husband, a good wife. If you have children, you're supposed to be a good parent. If you're a child, if a mom and dad, you're supposed to be a good son or daughter. You go to work, you're supposed to work hard on the job. You have finances, you're supposed to have a budget, pay your bills. You have responsibility, different areas of responsibility. If you have a bus route, that's an area of responsibility. And all of these, if you don't pay your bills, there's a consequence. And that consequence is maybe bankruptcy or maybe bad credit. There's a consequence. If you're not the type of husband or wife you ought to be, you may end up in divorce court and wreck your marriage. And so there's a consequence. But in this area, if you're disobedient, somebody goes to hell. And this is a lot worse than these other areas. Now, let me say this. Just because you win souls does not mean you're a good husband. Just because you win souls does not mean you're a good wife. Because you win souls does not mean you're a good parent. Because you win souls doesn't mean you're a good employee. These are all different areas of stewardship that we're responsible for. But tonight's subject matter happens to do with this matter of getting the gospel out. So he's sitting home, and he ought to be out soul winning. He's watching Porky Pig and Daffy Duck and the car. How old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
He's 12? 12?
38.
38. He looks like he's 12. Acts like he's 10, you know. But he's 38, and the only thing he can say is, did-dia. That's all, folks. That's all he can say. And so he's disobedient. Now, he decides now to obey Mark 16:15. So he shows up. All right? Now, this is obedience. Next to obedience, I want you to write down success. And listen carefully. Success. Now, Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's nothing in that verse that says anything about winning anybody. Doesn't say that. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, so I would have to conclude then from the scripture that he is a success because he's going. Now, he hasn't had anybody saved yet, but he's going. And by the way, oh, listen, if you went out tonight And you said, boy, this is it. Soul winning is it. And you went out and led the first 20 people you talked to Christ. And they all said, can I get baptized tonight? You brought them back, baptized them all. And they said, hey, can we join the church? Yeah, you're right. Can we tithe? Oh, yeah. Can we go off to Bible college? Well, yeah. And we couldn't live with you.
Yeah.
No, we couldn't. Your head be so big they'd have to grease it to get it in the back door. God knows us, doesn't he? Yeah, you'd be going home writing a book on the top 10 soul winners in America and how I led them all to Christ, you know. All right, now he's staying home. Is he obedient or disobedient?
Disobedient.
Success or failure?
Failure
in this area. Now he decides to obey the pastor and show up. He shows up. Is he obedient or disobedient?
Obedient.
Is he a success or a failure?
Success.
Success in this area. In this area. Now, he hadn't had anybody saved though, has he? All right, now take a look at John chapter 15. In John chapter 15 and verse 2, the scripture says, every branch in me that, underline this, beareth not fruit. So the first step to try to get to verse 16 is the fact that nothing happens. So he stays home, he's disobedient, and thus he is a what?
Failure.
He's a what? Failure in this area of his life. He shows up, is he a success or a failure?
Success.
Success because he's what? Obedient. Because he is what?
Obedient.
Obedience. Obedience is the vehicle that will carry you to success in any area of life. If you will obey your budget, your finances, if you'll obey whatever, being a good role model as a dad or a mom or husband or wife or employee, whatever it might be, if you'll get into this vehicle of obedience, I don't care what the area of life it is, you'll end up being a success in life. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. In this area of soul winning, we've got to get the gospel out. But notice what it says here. Take a step. He goes soul winning, but the Bible says nothing happens. So he goes out and he gets the gospel out and gives it out and gives it out and gives it out, but there's no fruit. Ask a question tonight. Is he a success or a failure? Success. He is a success or a failure? Because he's what? Obedient. Because he's obeying. The very fact that he's going, the very fact you hand a tract to somebody, the very fact that you witness to somebody, the very fact that you're out there, the very fact, listen, it just makes sense. The more people that go sowing, the more people are going to possibly get saved. All right, write these two chapters, Ezekiel chapter 3, and then Ezekiel chapter 33, and then look at me. In both of those chapters, there's a word that's used there, and it's the word warn. And in that word, I think your pastor preached a great sermon on that. That word warn there is in essence, he talks about bloody hands in that chapter, as your pastor explained to you. What it means is the fact that you have bloody hands, not because you don't win somebody, but because you don't tell them. You don't warn them. So the Bible then says very clearly, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What are you doing? The gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. That's the gospel. So you tell them that. Now look, if they decide not to, if they're an idiot and they want to go to hell, don't sit down and quit serving God. Man, I can't help because there are a bunch of dumb bunnies out there. That was funny, folks. I'm going to keep getting it. It's exactly what happened. You knock on a door, and they let you have it, and you wilt. And you go, oh, I don't know if I can do this again. No, 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 no. When they say no, you know what I say? Got that out of the way. Go to door number two. If they slam the door, got that out of the way. I'm getting closer. By the way, I thought we were presenting Christ, not us. I thought that was the idea. I didn't know we were presenting you. Look, if somebody is so dumb they want to go to hell, I'm not going to sit down on the curb somewhere and cry myself to where I get so beat myself up, I ain't going to tell somebody else. Listen, tonight you have an opportunity of a lifetime. You're healthy. You're not in a nursing home. You're able to get around. You've got your health. You're breathing. You're kicking. You're care. You can go tell people how to be saved. But let God do the work that God has to do in their hearts. You're not saving anybody. Amen. I need to do an illustration right about now, and I got to pick on somebody. And I don't. Who's got a good sense of humor, sir? With the white hair, do you have a good sense of humor? Do you marry? Hey! Hey, come on down here. Do you have a good? He's a deacon? Ah, oh, good. All right. You just sit down. You sit down over there. Can you stand right here? Okay, you got a good sense of humor, right? You better have, boy. Stand still. Do what I tell you. Okay? Now I'm going to let you represent the Lord in this role play, okay? Well, this ain't very good, is it? Okay. All right. Now, okay. All right. Okay, here is a drunk. Here is a dope head. Here is a wife beater. Oh, they didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the one that gets beat up. That's what it is. Okay, so now I'm a soul winner. I come along. And I take this guy, soul winning. What am I doing? I said, let me tell you how wonderful the Savior is. I want to tell you how wonderful it is. I want you to know that he saved me. I trusted Christ. He saved me. He looks too good. But I want you to know that he saved my wife, saved my children, my mom. Hey, let me tell you something. He's so great. He saved my mother-in-law. That's not great. Now, so what do? I win him over to the Savior. Now, watch this now. I know what the Savior will do. He'll save anybody. I'm not sure what he's going to do. I'm the foggiest idea. So I introduce him to the Savior, knowing the Savior will save anybody, and then I step out of the picture. What I have done is lead him to the Savior. That's soul winning. Don't do this when you go out and go soul winning and say, you don't want to be saved, do you? Well, that's really encouraging, you know. No, and then this way, and I want you to see the picture now. So I go out and I warn people, accept or reject, it doesn't matter. It does matter to them, but I have to keep going. I can't afford to let it get to me to where I sit down because somebody rejects. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the Lord. And if they're that dumb that they want to burn in hell, I got to keep moving so I find somebody else that wants to be saved. Does somebody say amen now? All right, straighten up, son. Go back to your wife and straighten up, would you? Okay. Now, he's sitting home on Saturday, obedient or disobedient?
Disobedient.
Talk to me now, obedient or disobedient?
Disobedient.
Success or a failure?
Failure?
In this area. Oh, but he shows up. Obedient or disobedient?
Obedient.
Success or a failure?
Success.
But he hadn't anybody saved. But he's obedient. Thus, he is a success. All right, then John 15, he goes out. Guess what happens? Nothing. He goes and 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 he goes. And he comes back and others talk. I had three saved. I had two and he didn't have anybody. But he's going. And I saved you tonight. He's a success according to the scripture. Somebody say amen now. Hey, look, we really, the pastor's right. We ought to call it soul warning night. And when you come back, you know what? Somebody says, I had three saved. What you ought to say is, I warned five. They didn't get saved, but they should have. And you don't know what's going to happen when you... One Saturday morning, I went by this house, and the neighbor had told me, he said, now, if you get a chance, come by Saturday, because the police are over here every week with this couple, and they're fussing and fighting, they need to get the gospel. Somebody in that house needs to get saved. So I went over that Saturday morning before my meetings and knocked on the door. This guy came to the door, and boy, he let me have it. He threw me off the porch and said, don't you ever come back here again. And I said, no, I felt led not to come back. And so... I went to church and had my meetings and everything. Well, I went soul winning all day and came back for my counseling appointment at 6 o'clock that night. I pulled up in my parking spot, got ready to get out, and there was nobody else in the parking lot at that time. And here come this SUV pulling in, and this man gets out of the SUV walking towards me. It's the same guy that threw me off the porch. And I thought to myself, Lord, I hate to whip him without anybody watching. So I walked up. I didn't know what was going to happen. And the guy walked up and he took his hand out like this and he said, I want to apologize. He said, my wife got all over me. He said, you just come over here to help us. You didn't come over here. You wouldn't. He said, praise God, we're just having a bad time. And he said, look, I'm sorry. I want to apologize to you. And I said, well, that's fine. And he said, what was it you wanted to talk to me about?
Amen.
Well, if I have to, I mean... Stood and gave him the gospel, went over the SUV, gave his wife the gospel and two little girls, and they got saved. We baptized them in our baptism. Somebody say amen. You don't know what happens when you walk away. You have no idea. God's working. God's going to work. Okay? He starts out, he's sitting home. Obedient or disobedient?
Disobedient.
Help me now. Obedient or disobedient?
Disobedient.
Success or a failure?
Failure?
In this area. He shows up for soul winning. Obedient or disobedient?
Obedient.
Success or a failure?
Success.
Success. He goes and nothing happens. Success or a failure? Because he's what?
Obedient.
Face him, not them. Okay. All right, take a look at the scripture here. Shut up. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch in me that beareth fruit. Underline that, beareth fruit. Guess what happens now? He keeps going and keeps going and keeps faithful and faithful and faithful. And, glory to God. Guess what happens one day? One day he comes back. He comes back shouting, and he says, I got me one. I got me one. I got me one, preacher. Somebody got saved. And then the preacher looks at him and says, are they coming Sunday? And you say, I really don't care. I finally got me one. Now you want to know if they're coming. So aren't you ever satisfied? No, he's never satisfied. And at this point, you couldn't pay them to come. You go by, they won't come, but you're getting people saved. This is a path that will carry you to one day having a preacher boy. This is a path that will carry you one day to having a Jack Hiles or a Lee Robertson or a Tom Malone or your dear pastor. This is a path that you must travel. It's a path that starts out with you being disobedient, and thus you are a what? Failure in this area. You may be a good husband. You may earn a good living. You may pay your bills, and you may be on top of your game in every area of your life. But if you're not going soul winning, somebody's going to die and go to hell, and you'll answer to God for it. So he's a failure. But now he decides to show up. Guess what? He's obedient now. Thus he is a success, even though he hadn't had anybody saved. And then John 15 says the next thing he does, he goes, but nothing happens. He goes. Let me tell you a story. Her name is Linda Duncan. She's retired now, but she was a executive secretary to a multimillionaire who had many businesses in our area, and she ran them. She was like the CEO. She ran them. She just ran them. And she went and borrowed money, and she talked to corporate boards and did all kinds of stuff like that. And if she walked in this auditorium tonight, you'd say, there's something special about that lady, because she just dressed like a businesswoman and just carried herself with such confidence. She got saved at our church and went soul winning. Get this now. Don't miss this. For 9 years. And never had one person saved. I'm talking about a lady who could sway corporate boards, but couldn't talk a 9-year-old into getting saved. And one day on a Thursday night, she come running across the parking lot with her high heels in her hands and her stocking feet, screaming, "I got me one, I got me one, I got me one." Can I ask a question? Was she a failure for those 9 years? No, she wasn't. Because she was going. And I'll tell you one thing. We're going to get to heaven and find out somebody got saved we didn't know about. And God's trying to teach you a lesson, because you can't handle success. And God knows that you got to keep going. And he'd rather have you obedient. Obedience better than sacrifice, the Bible says. So guess what happened? He starts out and he's sitting home. Success or a failure? In this area. Now he's disobedient. Now he decides, he's obedient. Now is it a success or a failure? Success, but hadn't anybody saved yet. But he's obedient. He goes, and then there's no fruit. Success or a failure? Success or a failure? Because he is what? Obedient. Now he finally gets somebody saved. Success or a failure? Success, because he's what? But they don't come to church. Now, let me pause and say this. You critics of soul winning, listen carefully what I'm about to say. Here's what you say. Well, where are they all?
That's right.
That's what you say. That's what you say. You're the very ones that accuse us of numbers.
Right. Yep.
So we say to you, well, we had 150 baptized last year, 200 baptized, yay! And you're back and going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And where are they all? Can I answer your question? Are you ready?
Yep.
Are you ready? Somewhere. Only here will you get deep truths from the Word of God like that. What do you think? That you think a spaceship came down and just took them out, or what? They're somewhere. You know what? You're not Baptist. You're Church of Christ. Don't give me that stuff. You talk like that, you ain't nothing but Church of Christ. That's all you are. Because if they don't get baptized in your tank, sit in your pew, and quit there smoking, cussing, dipping, chewing, running around, and tithe, here's what you say. Well, he didn't get it. Now, what kind of talk is that? Let me ask you a question. I think I'll prove a point here. How many of you are a member of a different church than the one you got saved in? Think about that. A member of a different church than the one you got saved in. Would you raise your hand? Somebody's looking for you. Come on, say amen to me. Aren't you glad your salvation doesn't depend on them knowing where you are? Come on, somebody say amen. All right. So I say to you that this, you know, these critics of soul winning. You lead somebody to Christ, you get in the car, yeah, you know. And your partner says, do you think he really got saved?
Right.
I don't know. He may turn out to be like you. I don't know. And what does really saved mean? What does that mean? That there's bloody salvation, raw salvation, medium well done salvation, burnt salvation. What does that mean? I mean, it's like going to the mortuary and looking at a bunch of dead bodies and saying, that ain't dead, but I got really dead there. I performed over 100 weddings in all these years, my 33rd year of pastoring, over 100 weddings. And there's all kinds of things go on down here when you marry people. I've had them stand there and giggle through the whole wedding ceremony. I had one time, they both looked at me exchanging vows. And, I already got one, you know. I've had them stand there and cry. So it's all like that. And I said, no. That comes later. Later. And a girl one time walking down, I bless her heart, she stepped on her gown and fell flat on her face. And slid into the altar. And I didn't know what to do, so I said, safe! You tell the guys at the wedding, you know, stand over here, and you tell them, do not lock your knees. Because if you lock your knees, it cuts the circulation off, and then when you try to move, you go down. Same speech every time. I give the same speech, and I had three of them one time standing there, and we're waiting, you know, and I looked down, and all three of these guys, knees locked like that, and I thought, oh, we better speed this thing up, you know. And they're as stiff as could be, you know. And sure enough, the first guy, he went like that, and he started down. The second guy reached for him, he fell. The third guy, he fell. It was like dominoes, you know. Listen carefully. It is not whether they cry, whether they laugh, or whether the assistants fall out, or they slide into the altar. It's the I do that gets you married. And it's the I do to Christ that does it. Whether you cry, whether you laugh, whether you bawl, whether you squall, or whether you don't do a thing, when you say I do to Jesus Christ, somebody say amen now. So be careful about judging whether somebody's saved or not. I don't know if you're saved or not. That kind of talk is not good. It's discouraging to try and get the gospel out. Well, if he'd a minute, he'd be here. Oh, that's wonderful talk. Yeah. Do you realize that they're babes in Christ? Why don't you be consistent? Next time you have a baby, bring it home, put it in the crib, and say, hey, kid, supper's at 6. If you're hungry, you'll come to the table. We have no logic, do we? It's like the pastor asking you to come down and use the altar. And you say, well, I don't have to go down to the altar. I've been getting right with God back here in these pews all these years. I don't have to go down to the altar. Okay, when your daughter gets married, we'll marry her back there in those pews where you've been getting right with God. Because she's just as married back there as she is down here. We have no logic, do we? Uncle George dies, we'll bury him back there in that pew where you've been getting right with God all these years. Because he's just as dead back there as he is down here. We have absolutely no logic at all. Does getting baptized save you?
No.
Okay. Taking the Lord's Supper save you?
No.
Huh. Joining a church save you?
No.
Huh. Huh. Walking an aisle save you?
No.
Huh. Well, I wonder why we do all this. Because it's a physical picture of a spiritual truth. When the preacher preaches his heart out and it's time to give the invitation, you get your stinking hide out of that stinking pew and get your stinking self down here on your stinking knees and confess your stinking sins.
Amen.
Did you get that stinking truth? You know, a visitor comes in and sits down. He doesn't know. He's not the member. So you know what he does? He looks around. Oh, I guess they don't go to the altar here.
Come on. Yeah.
So if the Holy Spirit reaches down and tugs at his heart,
come on.
And then here you stand there like a wooden Indian.
Yeah.
I was raised American Baptist. That was a lot of fun. American Baptist. Nobody walked the aisle. But boy, if anybody ever walked the aisle, everybody started whispering, what'd he do?
Yeah.
You could hear a couple saying, Harriet, you holding out on me? What was going on there? Well, the truth is, we all walk down the aisle, look at the one who didn't come and say, what's the matter with him?
Yeah.
It's a physical picture of spiritual truth. And by the way, you're guilty of something. And the way we preach with these shotgun sermons, Lord, we're going to hit your sin sooner or later. Well, I just don't feel convicted. Well, rob a bank, go before the judge. The judge convicts you. Go to jail and say, I just don't feel convicted. You will when they shut the doors. What is feeling stuff? Well, I'll tell you what. You know you got the power of God when your hair stands on end. Well, you bald-headed people would never know, would you? Yeah, no, you know you got the power of God when your spine tingles and a paraplegic would never know. Come on, help me now. We have absolutely no logic at all, do we? Just an excuse for God. Well, I tell you, preach against smoking, but I tell you, until I feel convicted, I ain't going to quit. Well, keep on going till you get cancer and die. That's nothing to do with the sermon, but I saw a pack back there. No, haven't seen it. Okay, obedient or disobedient?
Disobedient.
Obedient or disobedient?
Disobedient.
Success or failure?
Failure.
In this area. He shows up, obedient or disobedient?
Obedient.
Success or failure?
Success.
But he hadn't anybody saved yet, but he's going, isn't he? He goes and now there's no fruit. Success or failure?
Success.
Success or failure?
Success.
Because he's what?
Obedient.
Now he gets somebody saved. Success or failure?
Success.
He's a success not because the person got saved, but because he's obedient.
Right.
Jesus does the saving. Then the Bible says fruit, and then it says more fruit. Okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Finally, somebody gets saved. And finally they come to church. And finally they get baptized. And we never see them again. Dirty bric-a-brac-a splot a rip. Oh, I'll tell you, I just don't know if it's soul winning works. Okay, let me help you out. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said this, I will build my church. Jesus does the building of the church. You bring the material. And then he chooses what he can use and what he can't use. When I was a kid, my dad owned a sawmill and he was building a house. And I was about 6-7 years of age and I wanted to help him. And I kept getting in the way and knocking over sawhorses and nail pails, you know, and knocking over. So he said, get your wagon. And it was about 4 blocks. And he said, go down to the lumber yard and bring me some 2x4s and we'll work together. Oh, I'll do that. I took my wagon, went down there, and a little bitty red wagon. You could get 5, 6, 7 2x4s. That's all you could get. And you go about 3 feet, and they all tumble off. You had to put them back on the thing. It took a half a day to get 5 or 6 2x4s down there. And then when I got there, you know what Daddy did? He picked it up and looked at it. If it was straight, he put it one pile. If it was crooked, he put it another pile. If it had a knot on it, he'd put it over here. Can't use that. And so I'd bring 7 2x4s, and he used one. And he'd say, go back and get some more. Oh, okay, Daddy. So I go, now I wasn't building the house. He was building the house. But isn't that how you feel sometimes when you bring people to church? You get an old Catholic boy saved and come to church and he gets up and preaches that the Pope is the vicar of hell. You bring a long-haired hippie in here, getting him saved, and he gets up and says, oh, you hippie with a long hair. Go ahead and keep wearing your long hair. Somebody's going to pinch your rear end one of these days. And you're sitting back there saying, Lord, doesn't he have another sermon? Now, let me say this, that's none of your business. You let the man of God preach what God lays on his heart. I got a 70-voice choir and a 40-piece orchestra, and I start out real nice in my sermons, but I don't know what happens. I get in the middle and start throwing songbooks, screaming at the top of my lungs, foaming at the mouth, and walking pews. I don't know what it is. But I'll say something controversial on a Sunday morning when I'm supposed to be preaching on the love of God, you know. And you know, I'll say, a duck's a duck, and a whore's a whore, and a fag's a fag. I'll say something controversial, you know. Of course, your pastor never does anything like that. And I tell the little ladies in the choir, when I say something controversial, I don't want them going, oh, 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 Harriet, he did it again. Because the people are looking past me to the choir to see what their reaction is. So I teach the little old ladies in the choir when I do something controversial to smile real big, nod their head up and down, and say under their breath, I wished he wouldn't do that. Now, you have to understand here that please allow God to do the work that God does through the preaching. And there's a culling process. You take your basket out and you go get the fruit and you put it in and you come and you dump it in the big basket down at the church house. And then the preacher gets up and starts going like that. And you're back again, no, 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 please, please, please. But it's just the process. And please, listen, I'm not putting my wife in a pair of shorts to get you to be a member of my church. Now somebody say amen. Amen. You understand that? Yes. I'm not about to take my teenagers to a rock concert so that your kid, your backslidden kid, feels comfortable. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't make me come back there. Amen. My dad used to say, don't make me get out of this chair. All right, go back there. All right. Obedient or disobedient? Success or failure?
Failure.
Obedient or disobedient?
Obedient.
Success or failure?
Success.
But he had anybody saved, but he's obedient, isn't he? No fruit. Success or failure?
Success.
Because he's what?
Obedient.
Has somebody saved. Success or failure?
Success.
Because he's what?
Obedient.
He finally gets somebody baptized, but they don't come back. Success or failure?
Success.
Because he's what?
Obedient.
Not because of the results. So write two words down. Let me help you. Write down the word responsibility. And then write down the word results. And then I want you to circle the word responsibility. Results belong to God. Responsibility belongs to us. So if you go and you don't see any results, God is just saying, I can't trust you right now. I can't trust you. I'm walking by Bobby, he's preached here, right? I was walking by Bobby, I don't know how old he was, but he was up on the chair, had his face lathered up. and had the razor. And he was ready. Is that a cell phone? Okay, you owe me a pizza. Yes, you do. Did I tell him the rule before I got started? I don't know if I didn't. Oh, okay, you got away with it this time. But tomorrow morning, if it goes off, you're going to buy me a pizza. And if it rings tomorrow night, you're buying me a pizza. You understand that? Oh, Mom, was that you? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're so sweet. I wouldn't pick on you for the world. I thought it was the girl next to you. What are you doing with the cell phone anyway? She probably texts 6,000 messages herself. Or is her herself? It's okay. It's okay, sweetheart. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Oh, boy, there goes the love offering there. What was I talking about? What was I saying?
Responsibility.
That's it. Yeah. So responsibility and results. So you focus on responsibility and let God come up with the results. And let me tell you what he does. When you work and you work and you work and you work and you pray and you pray and you work and you work and you work and you're weary and all of a sudden the blessing comes. Wow. Do you know what you do? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Otherwise, here's what you do. Yep. Come see me and I'll tell you how to do it. Am I right? So God goes through this path to successful personal soul winning so that you understand who to give the credit and the glory to. That's why some of you are going and nothing's happening. Because God cannot trust you right now.
Amen.
So you better focus on responsibility and give tracts out to everybody you can give and
yes,
and just keep going and keep going. And then one day somebody's going to say like the Philippian jailer, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And you're going to be shocked. And you go, and that's what's going to happen. But please understand this is a path. Now, here's the danger. He's come this far. Boy, this is good, isn't it? I mean, he's come a long ways. But here's the danger. The danger is you find somebody headed back for the couch, and they're going the wrong direction because they never saw the results. And this is a labor of love. So you labor sometimes when you don't see any results. Listen, let me tell you about child rearing. Every day that you live, it ought to be scored at the end of the day. Dad 1, brat 0. I'm going to help you with child rearing now. End of the day, kid's in his room. When he's in his room, he better be laying there saying, Dad 1 again. Another shutout. I was going to say another no-hitter, but that wasn't the way that it worked. You'll catch that about Friday. No kid of mine is going to go to bed thinking he got the upper hand on me.
Amen.
No kid. Now here's the thing about it. You don't whip a kid once and that took care of that. Never have to do that again. A preacher doesn't get up and preach on tithing and say, well, took care of that. Won't have to mention that again. Going soul winning, well, told him one time. Won't have to say that again. No, that's not true. So life is a life of repetition, of doing the over and over and over again. And God comes along and God says, I want you to be a success. I want you to have the results. But when you get there, I want you to be able to say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you did. God, you're such a wonderful God. That man that got saved tonight, it was because you did that. And that guy that came on Sunday and walked that aisle, Lord, it was because you did that. And you're so weary and you're so tired that you look up and you say, what a wonderful God you are.
Amen.
That's why this path to successful personal sowing goes like it goes. Now, the Bible says no fruit. The Bible says fruit. The Bible says more fruit. Then the Bible says much fruit. And then the Bible says in verse 16, fruit that remains. Now, that's the path. So when somebody is going back this way, oh, that preacher talking about sowing, it don't work. I've been doing it and it ain't working. Let me tell you where he's headed. He's headed back to the couch.
Yeah.
That's where he's headed. He's headed this way. But that guy that's obedient, that keeps going, he's going to have one of these days, he's going to have fruit that remains. If he'll keep on going. But it's a matter of having... Listen, I'll tell you what's wrong with this nation right now. But we want a welfare society, and we want the government to take care of us and send us a check so that we don't have to... And that's the reason Obama got... Oh, don't get mad at me. I'm leaving town. But we want a welfare society. That's what we want. Come on, somebody say amen. But until we take personal responsibility from birth to death for our life and don't blame anybody else, but take it ourselves, we'll never enjoy living. Never will, never will, never will. So I say to you that this path, okay, go sit down. Go sit down, go sit down. Okay, obedient or disobedient?
Disobedient.
Success or failure?
Failure?
He shows up. Obedient or disobedient?
Obedient.
Success or failure?
Success.
But he hasn't had anybody saved yet, but he's going, isn't he? No fruit, success or a failure?
Success,
success or a failure?
Success.
Because he's what?
Obedient.
And now he goes, and finally somebody gets saved, but he can't pay him to come to church. I was driving down, going down Nelson Street, and I had my converts. I tried to wake up. I couldn't get nobody. So I pulled off Nelson Street where all the drunks are, and I pulled up, and I opened the door of my van, and I stood out, and I said, I'll give $20. Anybody go to church with me? And this drunk, he said, I'm not for sale, buddy. Listen to what he said. He said, I got standards. Dr. Lee Robertson was preaching to a bunch of drunks one time, and a drunk stood up and he says, you boys, listen, that's my pastor. Hey, I did that too well, didn't I? I watched my dad. Okay. And then all of a sudden, one day, guess what happens? Now he looks and he says, whoa, look at this. We got somebody in the ministry. We got somebody serving God. We've got a good layman or a good deacon or, wow, look at this. But let me tell you, the guy that has that is the guy that said, thank you, Lord. You're not running around writing books about how great he is. He's up there saying, Lord, you're such a wonderful God. What a great God you are. Please tonight, go through the process. It's a tough battle. I've been saved for 51 years. I've been pastoring in my 33rd year now. And I'll tell you something, it ain't easy. But boy, oh boy, when you got 400 graduates like we've got, and boy, it's so hard paying the bills, keeping the college going, and the struggle of winning souls every week and getting people down the aisle. I had 11 people saved last week. Had 4 down the aisle and 2 baptized. Oh, man, I was just rejoicing. But, oh, it was a lot of work. Man, I had to go through 30, 40 people to find somebody to listen to me. and it's just hard work. But, boy, it's worth it. Will you pay the price? Listen carefully, and I'm through. Finally, brethren, that's what Paul said as he kept on writing. And kept on going and going and going. And that was funny. I wish you'd have heard it. Tonight in Iraq, some 19 or 20 year old boy is going to die. In Afghanistan, some 20 or 21 years, and we've got the finest young men and women this nation has ever known fighting for us right now. Don't you ever let anybody run down our military. This is not a draft or conscripted army. This is a volunteer army. They love America. Wait a minute. Somebody's going to die, maybe having a baby born here that they'll never see. Die. So that you could have freedom.
Come on.
To do what? Sit home?
No, sir.
You know, the next time some pastor calls me around the country and there's a mother sitting in an office, a pastor in Irving, Texas called me and I could hear this wailing. And the pastor's crying. He said, Pastor, Brother Gray, I can't handle this. Mom and Dad here just found out their son was killed in Afghanistan. Will you talk to her? I said, I'll do my best. I've had a dozen of those phone calls from pastors who didn't know what to say. You know what I ought to do? I ought to have them call you who stay home. Al-Qaeda hates Jesus Christ and hates you Christians. And our young men are fighting so you can have the freedom to stay home. I want to come back there and slap you. Stay home? Stay home? Troy Izernak, one of our young men, was a sergeant. He was a part of a special forces group that was looking for bin Laden. And the little man there that was leading them around was a Benedict Arnold. And Troy, who was a sergeant, had these men, was trusting this fellow from Afghanistan. And this Afghanistan fellow led him right into a trap in a valley. And they were butchered. Butchered. Don't you think for a second, I don't think about Troy and our other young men have died from our church. Don't you think for a second when it's time for soul winning, I don't think about them. And many a time I've looked up to heaven and said, Troy, this one's for you. And I say to you tonight, this is more serious than what you think. And we need your help. Will you enlist tonight? Oh, say, preacher, I go and nothing happens. You're obedient. And you're a success. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The pianist is going to come. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I ask you tonight, and this is very, very important. Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm going soul winning. I'm not asking you to do something. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. But I wonder if you might not come and use this altar tonight and say, I'm going to help this church get the gospel out. And if I go and nothing happens, I'm obedient, and God's going to bless the obedience as the musicians play. I don't want you standing there. I want us to have a mighty army here at this church, a mighty army of soul winning. And I want you to come right now as the musicians play. Would you come? Just find your spot at the altar. This is the first time in 33 years I've missed my pulpit on a Wednesday night to preach somewhere. God led me here tonight to tell you this. And I'm just never gone from home. So I hope tonight that you'll not waste my life. And I hope you'll realize the importance and not waste the lives of men and women who are dying tonight. Young person, we need you to volunteer to get the gospel out. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. God's not asking you to die for Him. He's asking you to live for Him. Will you present your body when it's soul winning time? Will you do it? Lord, you don't have to stay out there for 4 and 5, 6 hours. Good grief, you could go out for an hour and hand out tracts to 5, 6 people and go home. But you could do that. Surely you could do that. Well, tonight your pastor needs your help and your Lord needs your help. And I'd hate to think that that young man's going to die or young lady's going to die tonight on foreign soil, never come home for nothing. For you to have freedom, sit around, watch television, go play golf, go fishing, take your Saturday and live it for you. And God's not even asking you to give a whole day to Him, but please, would you give the gospel to somebody? And you don't know what God's going to do. You have no idea. We need every living, breathing person to go. Now, Father, tonight I pray for these who are kneeling, and I pray for those who have volunteered and said, yes, I'm going to go. I pray this church have the greatest crowd it's ever had on Saturday. Just going out and giving the gospel out. This path to successful personal soul winning. God bless the people. And I pray that they'll see how important this is. And they'll obey. God, help us to focus on responsibility and allow you to give us the results. Bless the people. Bless the dear pastor, please. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Once you're through praying, you may go back to your seat. Look at me, listen to me just for a minute if you would. If 5 people went soul winning, do you think it might be possible to see 5 saved? Okay. All right, now help me. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. If 10 go, is it possible to have 10 saved? Come on, somebody help me now. If 10 go, is it possible to have 10 saved? If 15 go, is it possible to have 15 saved? Huh. Wow. If 20 go, is it possible to have 20 saved? Thank you. Thank you. Huh. How about 30? If 30 go, is it possible to have 30 saved? If 30 go, is it possible to have 30 saved? Wow. Huh. So apparently, the more people that go, the more people that might get saved. Huh. You'd almost think that would work, wouldn't you? Maybe that's why when we had 625 people go soul winning last week, we had 800 people saved. 99 down the aisle and 65 baptized. Could it be? Maybe? Just maybe? God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't love Jack Howells any more than he does you. Now, God loves me more than he does you, but that is... You guys, not a respecter of persons. The same God that blessed Lee Robertson and Tom Malone and Jack Hiles will bless you. I'm old. I can't hardly get around. We want your car. We got little ladies that putt-putt down. They load up with soul winner and they putt-putt out. We need your help. The pastor's just one man. But boy, you want to have a great invitation on Sunday? You take this crowd here. Nobody's asking you to stay out 6, 8, 9 hours. Lord, come on down here and go out for an hour. Get you 10 tracks and hand them out and go home. Go home and watch Michigan lose again. And pay the coach $7 million so he could have the worst season in 40 years. Lord, Michigan State beats him. You know it's bad.
Amen.
We need you, don't we? Now, the number one activity of this church is keeping people out of hell.
That's right. Yes, sir.
There ain't no reason for us to be here except to do that. Thank God for all the other things that go on. But if we don't keep people out of hell, there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. God's not asking you to win 1,000 or 100. God just said, why don't you keep going till you find that one?